Tsunami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 182 of the Toonami Escape Podcast. I'm Greg Zeno. Tonight we have B-Dubs.
Hello.
C-Kohler.
Hey guys.
And Crocodile.
Good evening.
So how about that sports ball?
I'm not watching it.
Everyone loves the sports ball. I don't care. I do, actually, but I don't. What am I talking about?
He cares very much.
I care a lot.
Super lot.
They did a thing this week and they reviewed Gris.
Yeah. I've not played that game. I feel like I've heard names thrown around. And I think it did well at the Video Game Awards, if I recall correctly, but I don't know really much about it.
It's a fancy, artsy 2D platformer.
Yeah.
There you go.
So it seems like none of you guys have played it either.
I have it. I just haven't played it.
Oh.
But it's always funny when they break out the review of a game that's like a year old.
Well, I mean, it's pretty clear that they just review whatever DeMarco or Gil just decides to play.
Capture some footage. There you go.
Exactly.
Well, nothing exciting is going on, so why don't we just get into My Hero Academia? My Hero Academia, episode 72, Red Riot. In this episode, Fat Gum is now Hot Gum.
Yeah.
Oh no, he's hot! Also, Kirishima backstory.
Yeah.
Which is weirdly focused on Mina, even though she doesn't really matter outside of this.
Which, yeah, I never really understood that. And I'll admit that I'm not super up-to-date on manga, but for what I had read, and kind of what I've absorbed through cultural osmosis, like, it doesn't seem like she's ever given that same amount of focus, or, like, it never seems like the show, or the IP, or whatever you want to call it, returns the favor narratively. That's
what somebody said in the thread. I don't understand it either, because, like,
well, maybe if she got a top 10 in a character poll, she could be in the show.
Right, but I guess, like, my point is that, like, you have this huge cast of characters, it'd be so easy to just give each one of them an episode at some point, you know, just if you're looking for writing potential, but, like, to not ever do it is really weird.
Or at least change around the characters and the arcs. Like, you can say that Deku's always the main focus, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the same three or four dudes that are around with him going out doing things. You can change up the side cast. I think that would be helpful.
It's like the Naruto problem.
Yeah, if you stop showing the characters that like top the polls, then suddenly you're down in the rankings and editors come knocking. Otherwise, they fight a dude who punches and a dude who has a shield, and it's okay.
Sword and shield. No, it's spear and shield, right? There we go. The whole spear and shield motif.
Yeah, this would have been better if they hadn't kind of already done this bit with him before, with his whole, like, I gotta overcome.
Yeah, this is rather repetitive with the guy with blades everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he did that and forgot to put in the flashback, so he had to do it again.
Yeah, it was fine. I didn't mind it. It's just, if anything, again, it makes me want to know more about Mina than it does about her, about this guy. Kirishima's fine, but...
But he, over here, Mina's just like, hey, I'm talking to these bullies, and now we're having a breakdancing competition.
Yeah, what's up with that? She's just that persuasive, I guess.
She's very awesome.
She walks up to Gigantomachia, and suddenly they're having a breakdancing competition. I wish that would have happened. That would have been hilarious.
I think I would say the biggest issue this episode has is that it didn't really leave an impression, or a strong impression, maybe. And say no impression. It was just like, yep, that's an episode of shonen anime. And, you know, we all consume a lot of shonen anime. We all I think most of us are big fans of genre. But you know when something like really like, oh wow, that left impression on me versus like, huh, that was a thing that happened, and then move on with your night or day.
You know how it used to be, you know how they used to like title chapters like, ah, the origin. Like, this is the big moment for this character.
God, I hate that.
This feels like it was gonna sort of like that, but not really.
I mean, again, it was fine. It's basically his version of Deku's story. He's got a like this superhero that he looks up to, and then he feels like he's not, you know, he's not matching up. And then he remembers what that guy said, and he's like, oh yeah, you know, I was afraid, but I had to do it, and so that's basically what he did. And so, fine, whatever. And I mean, he basically saves Fat Gum, or I don't even know if he saves Fat Gum. He just sort of allows Fat Gum to defeat the enemy.
I came out of it wanting to know more about Mina instead of him.
Yeah, me too. Like, I want to. I mean, she's, I don't know, she's a cool character. When someone said in the thread that we never get any kind of backstory or focus on her, I was just kind of let down. I'm like, man, come on. Like, there are several characters in Class 1A I would be more than happy to learn more about.
But would you like another arc focused entirely on the big three? And I don't mean the big three, I mean the big three characters.
Yeah, Deku and Bakugo and
Todoroki.
Yeah.
So not the big three, but the biggest three.
You're right. I mean, you've hit the nail on the head. If the most popular characters are the ones that are going to get the stories, because some editor is knocking on the door saying they want to see more Todoroki.
Oh, this person squeaked into the top 10. We should do them more.
Except for those Froppy episodes that just sort of came out of nowhere.
Well, she's always been popular.
Oh.
Is she still in the most recent top 10? I know she used to be in the early top 10s.
I don't know what the most recent top 10 is. Let me see. I'm going to get a bunch of trash here.
I mean, who remembers the top 10? Come on.
Top 10 My Hero Academia ships. That's all this.
Yeah, that's all he's going to get.
That's all he's going to get.
Yeah, fuck this. It's like the popularity polls. Here we go. So, if you want Froppy, right?
Oh, what was the most recent top 10? Because I know there was a recent one, I think, within the last few months.
Okay, so the fifth popularity poll is the most recent. And that one, top 10, Bakugo, Deku, Todoroki, there you go, top 3. Kirishima is number 4, so that explains a lot. Then you got Ida, then you got Shigaraki, then you got Eraserhead, then you got Uraraka, then Himika, then Toga, then Momo. And Froppy is all the way down to 16. All Might's not even in the top 10.
That's messed up.
She got beaten out by this fucking dude from the license exam that I can't remember what his power is. I'm going to link this dude to you.
Is he the wind guy?
No.
No.
I'm going to link this and you're going to be like, who? More popular than Froppy in Japan.
What the hell is this guy?
Exactly. Who the fuck is that?
What the hell is even his power?
The Yoshindo.
He was the dude who...
He was the wind guy?
No.
Why? Oh, come on, load already. I don't know why this is not loading.
Oh, he's Earthquake, dude.
What the fuck? There was an Earthquake guy?
Exactly.
Oh, was that the... That was the guy that was voiced by Papenbrook, right?
Yeah, this dude was Papenbrook.
Oh.
And he was very faux nice.
Why was he popular?
I don't know.
A bunch of fangirls think he looks cute.
Doesn't wear a shirt.
Yeah, I don't, this is not loading for me for some reason, but whatever.
Anyway, yeah, turns out when you get up to number 4 in the popularity polls, they start making episodes about you.
Well, I mean, this was in the, I think, this is like a happened a year ago in the manga or something?
But he was in the top 10 from the start.
Right, but it's just a self perpetually reinforcing loop. If you get in the top 10, they write more content about you. If they write more content about you, you get more popular. Then you get more popular, you get more in the top 10, and so on and so forth. Remember in Bleach when that ice child was like really popular and making stuff about him, even though he was really stupid character? What was his name again?
It's a guy.
There we go. Yeah, like a whole movie about him, didn't he?
Oh yeah, they did. Some good Staleygasms. Anyway, they punch Fat Gum a lot, and then he's hot. It's literally like Handsome Squidward.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess I should have seen that coming, but I honestly did not realize that he would just deflate like that.
Well, I think halfway through the episode, he mentioned that his fat reserves were being depleted by all the punches. So that was the, I think, the projected endgame. Though, of course, he could have been like an ugly, thin dude, but, you know, this is anime, so.
Yeah, I just assumed, I guess thought he was more like the Blob, you know, from Marvel.
Yeah.
I have no idea what this character is.
The blob is just a big fat guy.
Oh, the mute guy, yeah.
You mean a pig god?
Yeah, and his like whole power is that you can like punch him, and he just absorbs all of the punches. But it, like, he doesn't ever change form. He's just like indestructible in that way.
He was big in X-Men Evolution, where almost all the X-Men were like teenagers, except for Wolverine and Storm. And Xavier, obviously. Remember really goth Rogue? You see that version of X-Men?
Yeah.
No, I have not. I have not seen any X-Men. Well, hardly any X-Men stuff.
Really? Not even the 90s cartoon with the famous theme?
I did not see the animated cartoon.
We should have like actually tried to sync up instead of just, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, I saw Logan.
Too complicated.
It's funny enough that classic X-Men's cartoon was shown in Japan with two really cool theme songs. Yeah. You ever see the Japanese theme songs for those?
No.
All right. Well, I probably shouldn't play them right now, but on your own time, go look them up, and they're pretty good. And openings are anime as fuck, but it's still like X-Men at the same time.
That kind of makes sense, because X-Men's kind of fucking anime as fuck.
It is funny, though, that I've seen that opening, and it's like this really cool anime opening for the X-Men cartoon, but then, like, the cartoon is just the same.
I can kind of, like, conjure up the opening, or, like, the theme from here. Kinda. If I brought it up, I'd be able to nail it, but oh well. Anyway, this dude's in the walls. That's it. Dr. Stone. Dr. Stone, episode 19, To Modernity. In this episode, Senku decides to build the greatest weapon of man. Gen's like, nukes? And he's like, cell phones. And Gen's like,
yeah.
Shut the fuck up. No. Fuck off. And I'm also like, dude, what? Fuck off. And then he's like, no, it's gonna be more like a landline. It's like, oh my god, landlines are so old that you have to introduce cell phones first and then work back to explain to children what they are. It's like a cell phone.
Well, let me clarify. Somebody said that it's a landline in the thread, but that's not true. But no, it is not a smartphone either. It is a wireless communication device.
I'm still completely... I can't even imagine what they'd be able to make with Stone Age materials. So I'm just kind of like, just stay along the ride and see what happens.
Well, I mean, what they would really need is maybe wood for the handle and whatnot, and just some copper wire and shit.
I think they need a little more than that.
They're going to defeat Tsukasa and his stone army with two cups with a string tied to between them.
Well, no. Like, a phone is largely just... Well, I mean, not like a cell phone, because, you know, a cell phone is, like, stupid complicated, but, like, a regular one is just some wires and crap.
Well, I mean, it's like...
Well, the key word here is wireless.
I need to look up our phones work again, because I feel like I've forgotten.
That's a little more complicated, I think. Because I was sort of picturing, like, you know, sort of like the step between wireless phones and the telegraph. You know?
Well, I won't say any more because I don't want to accidentally say something. But I just wanted to set up the expectations correctly. Because the series, Grex, you actually nailed it on the head, that the series does kind of go out of its way to keep using the word smartphone. Yeah. It's like, we're building a smartphone, and it's not that.
It's like, we're building a telephone, and a kid's like, a what?
A what, exactly. It's definitely the manga.
Kid looks up from smartphone, what?
We can't use words that these kids won't understand, so smartphones, they know what those are.
Kids know what telephones are. They may not know what a rotary phone is or something.
Though, I bet a significant amount of kids have never even heard the word telephone.
That's a little too... Yeah, we're not that
old. Why? Because, seriously, when was the last time you said telephone?
Yeah. Again, I think it's a convenience thing, and it's also a, like, hey, remember that... Nudge. Hey, remember all the times Taiju kept saying you wanted a smartphone?
I do not remember that whatsoever.
They actually referenced it in this episode.
What would you do with it? What would you even do with it?
What do you mean?
Like, hey, I made you a smartphone. Cool. It has no apps. Oh.
Right. Anyway, and the only reason I'm going out of my way to say this is because I swear to God, I came across somebody who was watching this show. And when it turned out what they built wasn't actually an iPhone, they were like, I thought they were building an iPhone.
I mean, I'm sitting here racking my brain as to how they could, what they could possibly make. So, I just don't know. Anyway, that was just a tiny bit of the episode. The actual episode is they're fighting off this ninja dude still. And also there's this other chick who doesn't really move. Or express anything at all.
Yeah, I guess that's certainly an archetype, and that was certainly intentional play. I'm not really a fan of that type of character archetype, but I guess we'll see how this plays out. I'm just confused as to where they got hair dye, or why they bothered dye her, why she bothered dye her hair.
It was always pink. It's anime. Pink is a natural human hair color. Be quiet.
Also, I don't think Senku goes out of a way to dye his hair green either, for the same reason. It's just natural.
Green. Again, natural hair color.
Who's green hair again?
Senku.
Oh, Senku has the tips of his hair or the fucking.
It's green. Whatever, he looks like a leaf.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think you nailed it. You nailed it on the head. It's just anime hair color.
He's too young to have white hair too. So whatever. Sure. All right. I guess I'll allow it for now.
Meanwhile, in the evil fortress of Tsukasa, this girl over here is like, well, when you think about it, isn't paying rent just slavery?
I'm sorry. I was like, I'm not usually one to be offended by things, but I was slightly like, come on, show. Like that's just so unnecessary.
Meanwhile, her eyes are like slowly moving apart on her face. It's like, you can drive a truck through them.
Oh, God.
I don't know why, but the eyes don't bother me that much. I think they bother everyone else, though.
I haven't even
That's called it. Stockholm Syndrome.
I don't know. I don't think they look that bad.
It's so... Everything else has moved away from that so hard, and now we get back to this, and it's like, oh, hello, early 2000s key.
God.
Where have you been for 19 years? Again, where did Tsukasa find all these huge dudes?
The shed.
They just, like, I mean, he's just wandering around looking at people, and he's like, oh, this guy doesn't look that old, and he's, you know, he's probably like some kind of thug. You know, he probably worked for the Yakuza or something.
I know exactly where to find the world's best weird spear fighter.
I don't know. I've seen a lot of Yakuza gameplay streams, and I don't think Yakuza look like that.
Okay, well, I meant that was a bad example, but just like a thug. Also, they did say in the episode that Hyoga was someone that Tsukasa had been looking for specifically. So I think he knew him.
Hmm.
They haven't really gotten to his past, though, in the similar way they went to Tsukasa's past, where he was, like, actually well-known in Japan, even though his nickname was really kind of terrible. But, like, yeah, so I guess they're going to do that at some point with Hyuga, but they just haven't yet.
But, yeah, the village got burned down. Oh, no. But everyone's fine. We also get Melon Gear Solid.
Melon Gear Solid. Again, always in there doing the hard work.
Basically. Do you want to talk about... Oh, no. I forgot about it until right now.
How could you forget?
Do you want to talk about Sword Art Online?
Forget about what?
Oh, God damn it.
I actually also forgot about it until just right now.
Oh, come on. I forgot about it. I was having a good day.
See, Kohler, insert like air horns here. Sword Art Online Alicization, War of Underworld, Episode 25, In the Far North. In this episode, Kirito is a vegetable. But don't worry, every conversation is still about him.
Oh, God.
He's not just a vegetable. He also, like, apparently gets, like, angry if someone tries to separate his swords from him.
So... Oh my God, that's even worse.
Sword, bro!
He looked less angry, more like flailing or melancholy.
Oh God, I don't even want to. It's so stupid.
So here's the question of the day: do the people of Underworld know what a disability is? Or is this. Are we just supposed to believe that this has never happened in the.
No, it's Middle Ages. They don't care.
Either they don't care, or like maybe it's a perfect utopia world where no one ever has.
No. Or what?
Somebody mentioned that in a thread. I'm like, okay, maybe it's that.
Okay, now you got me thinking. Is it even actually possible, though?
Right.
Well,
we're talking about fluff lights here.
It seems like they programmed death, and they've definitely programmed like disease. But they may have not programmed the concept of disability. Like, that's not actually totally implausible as depressing as it sounds.
You know what? I just had a thought, though. I'd be willing to go that far and go, like, okay, yeah, none of these people have ever seen a comatose person
before. Has surely gotten a leg cutting off before.
Right, but nobody's ever seen a person, like, in a vegetative state, let's say. However, your default position shouldn't be like, hey, that guy's perfectly normal. Why isn't he standing up? Right? They should be going like, hey, something's strange here. This person's just sitting there and not moving.
Well, my conclusion is that everyone in this world sucks and they should all die. So,
yeah. I mean, let's not forget, this is a show where every single villain is a rapist. So, like,
this is true. Every single one of them.
Hey, remember all those dudes they killed getting up the tower last season? They're all just okay. Even dude who was literally a block of ice. Now he's just not.
His hair is a different color, I think.
No, I'm talking about, like, big blue dude.
No, yeah, his hair was... I'm pretty sure his hair is now green when it used to be, like, blackish or bluish black.
No, it was blue.
I don't know. He should not be alive, by the way, but I think his hair changed color or something. But yeah, I don't really understand. Like, I remember... Didn't one of those nights they, like, shot an arrow into his heart and then he, like, burned alive or something? Like, the Arrow Knight was one of the first ones they fought up the way on the tower.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that guy did die, and because this purple-haired dude was maybe earlier?
No. That guy's, he's back. He was with, like, that. He was there in the group. I think he's the red-headed guy with the short hair.
Hmm.
Yeah, they're all alive. I don't know why. It doesn't matter. All alive.
This show is... could make anything it want happen, so I'm sure they're even if they died, whatever, they're back.
It makes no sense.
Another quick question, so I may have missed it, but like, was the only reason this episode was rated a TV MA was because Feminism Night was naked in the opening?
Maybe.
Probably.
Yeah.
Also, of course, feminism, like, is nothing. Totally naked in the opening.
Wait, who is that? I don't know who that. Oh, it's that one woman.
The one girl.
Oh, right? yeah. Okay,
gotcha. Remember a character was like, actually, I'm an enlightened feminist.
So, I guess, so what they're setting up at the moment is that Kirito is out of the picture. He's there, obviously, and everyone talks about him, but he's not doing anything. And instead, right. All these side characters he fought, including Alice, are now going to be the stars.
But I don't like any of them either.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they all suck. Not only do they all suck, all they do is talk about Kirito and how much he doesn't suck, which just reinforces their own suckage.
Well, some people think Kirito sucks, like that guy who shows up on a dragon at the end. He's like, I'm going to kill that guy who's in a vegetative state.
Good.
I am 100% sure by next episode or episode later, he's going to be like, oh, Kirito-sama, oh, come back to us. Oh, I miss you so much. Oh, Alice loves you. I booked that.
I would just murder him already.
I can't wait for the outtakes where it's just Bryce Papenbrook constantly making farting noises as Kirito is shitting himself in important scenes.
You know what I can't wait for?
What?
When Kaiba is revealed as the villain at the end of the season.
Oh my god.
Countdown to Kaiba.
Puts himself, no, that's it. Countdown to Kaiba. Let's just do that. Every week from now on until the end of this season.
11 episodes to Kaiba.
Yeah, we've got the countdown to Kaiba.
He's totally downloading himself into a robot.
You know he's going to come back at some point. Like, they cannot resist it.
Hey, you know how dumb these dudes are? Where it's like, hey, that girl just cut down that entire tree with a sword.
They've seen this before.
Let's make fun of her. Oh, she just literally teleported over here faster than sound? Her.
Let's make fun of her.
Oh, look, Billy just got smushed into dust. Her.
Yeah, they are pretty stupid.
Also, all the villagers suck. Fuck. Was that her dad that was like, get out?
Probably.
Man. She's like, what the fuck was any of this for? And I'm like, yeah, fuck all these people.
Yeah.
They're the worst.
Here's my prediction. I'm not even joking this time. I think this is literally what's going to happen. I believe that Asuna is going to upload her floodlight into the system, and it's going to be the Alice and Asuna power hour, basically. They're going to be the main characters fighting everybody, and then these other, like, Integrity Knights are just going to be around.
So they can get bailed out.
Or killed or something. Like, they'll be knocked off one by one or something. Yeah. But it's going to be the primary harem girls will protect the world for Kirito.
Wait, I think I saw the poster for the second part of the season. I'm pretty sure they're all there.
Yeah.
Okay. So even like sniper girl and the shopkeeper girl.
Oh, you mean all of the original harem are going to show up?
All of them. I think I saw Leafa in the poster.
Oh god, they're all there?
I think so. But honestly, like, what would you expect?
This is fair.
You know what?
Is Klein there or the one black guy? Are there either of them there?
No, fuck him.
Of course not. I mean, that would make sense. That would be the smart, like, the better thing to do. But no, this has now become, like, the girl show, I think, is what it's going to be. Like, not that that's a bad thing. And in fact, I was about to say, I would take this over more Kirito stuff.
Well, there is a difference between, like, girl power and the Emperor's harem comes to his rescue. There's
right.
A little
well, that's what it is,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's really more of just an excuse to be like, hey, you like these female characters, right? And we're going to make the whole season about them.
Right.
So do you think Feminism Night ends with joining the harem?
No, I think
probably.
She dies.
No, 50-50.
I bet the Integrity Knights die, because who cares if they die, right? I bet they'll each have their sacrifice themselves. Scene where they sacrifice themselves for the greater good.
There are two people who will die. Oh, well.
Except for those little girls. I don't think those little girls could die. They probably won't kill them.
They won't even show up.
They were in the episode.
No, the little girls are going to die before Feminism Night.
They were in the episode. I saw them standing in the background.
Yeah, they were there. Oh, shit. What happens to Elevator Chan?
Oh, my gosh. The most important character.
They're just going to smash cut to, like, the building falling over, and they're like, Elevator Chan was in there!
I'm pretty sure I was paying attention to the story, but they mentioned, they have offhand comment about the fact that, like, oh yeah, that Kirito guy, he's the traitor who defeated the administrator. Okay, fine. I guess they know that, but then, like, wouldn't their whole world just be, like, rocked right now by the fact that the person who basically was in charge of everything is no longer there?
Yeah, I feel like nothing happened because she died, and right. It's like,
I can't recall. Weren't they worshiping her like a goddess, or was it she just the empress?
She was a goddess. Staff. She had the power of a god in this world. That's what's so stupid, is that they're all just treating it like that she just got fired or something. It's like, what? No, this was like your leader of your whole church system that's been around for 100 years.
She got also impeached, like Jadel, but they don't think she's going to be convicted, is what happened.
So also they're like, oh no, there are no more senators or whatever those dudes in the tubes were. And it's like, but nothing, it does not seem to have mattered.
Yeah, nobody's freaking out about it. They're just sort of like, well, I guess, you know, whatever.
I guess they didn't matter at all.
They glossed over that real fast in a way that makes me think that's bad storytelling.
What?
What? Bad storytelling SOA? You don't
no.
say. Wait, did I say don't SOA or SOA?
You did.
Whatever it's
you
called.
Did.
All right. And to play devil's advocate, I will say, though, that they are pretty preoccupied because the goblin army is attacking or something. So maybe they didn't have time to think about it.
That was literally several months ago.
Oh, really?
There was like a little bit of a time jump where it's like, well, Kirito was there in the tower for a while, and then she was like, oh, they're going to kill him. I'm just going to fuck off to this town.
And she took him.
Yep.
Wait, excuse me? What are you saying? So the end of this episode, when are you?
This happened before the episodes started. Like, he basically said that, like, after they defeated Naked Woman, Kirito and her hung around in the tower for a little bit. But then all the Integrity Knight people, I guess, were upset. And so she took the comatose Kirito back to that village and hid him there, basically.
What?
Yeah, that much makes sense. But the invasion happens at the end of this episode.
It was very stupid.
Well, but he was saying that the reason they didn't deal with this administrator stuff is because it's like, the goblins are attacking. But no, they weren't. Because that didn't happen.
Like, we weren't privy to the ultimate, like, ramifications of Quinella dying. Like, that was all in the time skip. So we don't know why everyone's just acting like nothing's happened.
Oh, yeah. There was definitely time. It wasn't like she died and then, like, then that very day the Fire Nation attacked. It was like there was time between that.
I mean, it would be funny if that very day the Fire Nation attacked.
Like, when she died, like, oop, the barrier's down, we're fucked.
Like, that would be funny.
So what else can we talk about?
I don't know. Fuck if I know. Sword Art Online tends to have boring first episodes, huh?
It really does.
I was expecting more.
Like, come on.
Also, I swear there was a shot in this episode where there was a baby dragon. And I was like, what's that baby dragon doing there?
Oh yeah, that's the dragon she flew off on.
What?
Right?
The dragon she flies around on is like the size of a bus.
Oh, what are we talking about then?
There was a shot in this episode where there was like a little tiny baby dragon. I'm pretty sure of it. And I didn't know what I was looking at.
Okay.
I was hoping you guys knew, but maybe not.
I don't know.
Okay.
So yeah, it's back. It's dumb.
We didn't talk about the most important moment in the episode, where she sleeps with him.
And yeah.
Wait, what?
I don't mean that sexually, but
I forgot about that until you just reminded me. And he starts spazzing out in the bed because I guess the Fire Nation is attacking or some shit. It's just the weirdest. It's just so uncomfortably
Sorry,
awkward.
We have one bed.
Yeah, and I'm gonna like snuggle up against you because Kirito.
Excuse me, I just shit my pants. Those sheets have to be cleaned every day.
It's not clear to me what is up with Kirito. Like,
they cut the power. The link.
No,
between
no, I
his
don't get.
Body
I know. I know what's going on. What I'm saying is, I don't understand his mental state. Like, he's a lot of times he's just sitting there looking like, you know, there's nothing going on. But then, like, every once in a while, he'll be like, oh, reaching out for something. And then, like, don't take my swords from me.
He's catatonic, not comatose, so.
Well, no, if he was catatonic, he couldn't do anything.
It's a fake imaginary thing where people can kind of do something, but not really.
He's like,
I am not a doctor. Damaged.
No, he's like brain damaged or something.
I think that's more likely, or like the electronic version of brain damage, I guess.
Well, I mean, that would still be brain damage.
I also do believe he's going to have like when Asuna shows up, or he's going to foresee it. Like, that's another prediction I'll make.
He'll,
I think,
like,
he's reaching
oh,
out
cool.
is like,
I'm good
he's
now.
Like, yeah, he's like, well, maybe not that, but like so much like at the end of this episode where he was reaching up, he's like, oh. And I think that's like him anticipating the return of his girlfriend slash wife.
slash fiance.
Yeah, whatever. I can't even remember how their relationship works.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's all those things at once.
They're basically married.
Yeah, no. The thing, like, my big prediction is, like, the last couple episodes, he's just going to randomly get up and save the day.
Oh, yes. Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
They're not going to end this season with him in a coma.
He's going to stand up and be like, it's time to kick ass. But yeah. First, yeah. Does anybody have a change of pants?
He will save everyone.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, whoever the big bad is, they're going to show up, they're going to kick everyone's ass, they're going to kill off some characters nobody gives a crap about. Then he's going to show up and save Asuna right before she dies.
Yep. Because no one else can save the day.
Happens.
Only Kirito can save the day.
Because he's a dirty beater.
What are you... odds on Yu-Gi-Oh! Coming back?
1501?
He better not come back.
I'll tell you what. I think he will come back because that would be the weak way to do it. Like, that would be like... that will make his sacrifice for nothing, and that's exactly the kind of bad writing I would expect.
I put the odds at 5-1.
No, I'm going 35-1.
Ooh.
I think you're very. I think you're extremely underestimating the chances of this.
Oh, well, here's the thing. Okay, I'll
like,
throw.
Okay, so it's like they didn't bring back Super AIDS girl, so I'm just kind
of
like...
she literally died.
Yeah, she's like, she was a real person.
They could have uploaded her brain into something.
This was before Floodlights. They didn't have Floodlight technology yet.
They could have taken her brain out of her body.
There's no reason Yu-Gi-Oh's brain can't be on backup somewhere.
You're right, there really isn't, no. Although, that's a good point. However, here I will throw this in there. Maybe they don't want to bring Yu-Gi-Oh back because he competes with Kirito as... possible main character.
No.
Then they wouldn't have made him in the first place.
I mean, they would totally make him if he wasn't going to stick around.
No. His point in the whole thing was essentially to be yaoi bait. Let's be real. Like, that's why he exists.
I guess Klein wasn't going to fill that role.
Yeah, no. They needed a pretty boy that they could go,
exactly. Like Kirito.
Yeah. So they could go, oh, look at that. They might be into each other.
All
yeah.
right. So, Croc, since you're here too, we need to hear your. So, Grex thinks definitely Yu-Gi-Oh is coming back. B Dubs, no way. I think he will.
I don't think he's coming back.
Okay.
Like, he's at, like, what's his name is a hack, but there's like a limit to hackery.
There's no limit, my friend.
Wild card. His sword starts talking.
That's right. And he turned into that sword.
Okay. That's what I expect.
That's different than him coming back, like his body and mind and soul.
No. He'll start talking. That I will say probably happens.
Maybe. I think the sword will become Yu-Gi-Oh again.
No, I don't think it'll go that far, but I think the sword... like communicate somehow at the most.
You know what would explain why he was so eager to keep that sword close to him? He's like, don't, Yu-Gi-Oh, gotta keep him close to me, protect him.
Like there's some kind, like the sword can probably communicate somehow.
now you're talking me out of it.
You looked it up, didn't you?
No, I did not. I'm.
I don't never want to be spoiled on this.
I have not. I don't know anything.
I need to see all of this in real time as it happens.
Before I'm tempted, let's move on to Fire Force. Fire Force Episode 22, A Brother's Determination to Go Beyond Ludicrous Speed into the Speed Force.
Yes, Speed Force.
Don't gotta explain shit, Speed Force.
Speed Force is bullshit.
Yeah, I think that went beyond JoJo to, like, DC fuckery. Yeah, it was just insane. It was, like, entertainingly insane, but it was insane.
Hey, I'm just going to move so fast that I turned into subatomic particles?
I mean, that's literally bullshit that the Flash did.
Sure. Sure. This is just Flash versus Reverse Flash.
Yes.
They basically said that he moved so fast that he went back in time fast enough so that his particles would reassemble.
Yeah, that's just that's just the Flash.
What?
By the way, you were correct, Grex. We are dealing with the HELL, or otherwise known as the Home for Infinite Losers. That is what is happening.
Yep. They're all from hell.
Which I'm okay with, whatever. We got magic in this show, why not?
I'm still really interested in figuring out what the fuck's going on, but...
Nobody knows.
Of course it was hell. Of course it was hell.
It's always hell. Satan is a good guy, though.
There was a cool shot in this episode. I don't know if you guys noticed it, but there was a shot of, I forget what they call this place, like New Tokyo or something, or the Tokyo Empire.
Whatever.
There was a shot of it in the episode, and you could see that it was like just the city.
Oh, yeah, and then outside it's like nothing. Yeah,
it was just complete, everything outside the city was just gone. So I do believe that we're dealing with a situation where there's just maybe tiny patches on the Earth, if any, more than this one that are just left. That everything else is gone.
I think that was the vibe I got from I want to say a couple episodes back when he started explaining what was going on. I think maybe when we were first meeting Vulcan around then.
Anyway, the Speed Force knocked all the memory of the specifics of this episode out of me, so.
Well, he just kept using the Edola link to, like, feed his brother these childhood memories, and it was, like, messing with him. He didn't like it, and eventually he went so fast that he was going faster than Sho's ability to stop time.
But they also said, I think, that part of it was that Shinra was tapping to Sho's link into hell, so he was like kind of like vicariously getting whatever the same juices that Sho was getting to him, which was helping him move so fast.
Oh, yeah, because the Evangelist is, like, they're tapping into the power of the Evangelist, who, by the way, shows up in this episode. We don't really see much of them, but they're floating
creepy
there.
Figure. Yeah. That looks cool.
Yeah, I mean, it looked really good. Great-looking episode, of course, as always. It shows...
Not quite last episode, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got lots of what's-his-face hamming it up on the sidelines, giving commentary.
Kind of thought they went way too over the top there. I was like, okay, I need you to shut the fuck up now.
About the pseudoscience of Speed Force nonsense?
The voice got, like, he reached a pitch and then he never came down from that pitch. He was just like,
fair enough.
And I was like, this is annoying. Sorry, Ian, but...
Oh, and then there were, like, two other characters that showed up.
There's that weird pointy face dude and this other girl who can't see where she's going.
Yeah, although she apparently had a better view of the fight than he did, but...
Thamea. Yeah,
she's, like, wearing, like, parachute pants and then, like, a crown over her eyes.
Okay.
So that's a design.
It sure is.
So how many episodes left of Fire Force are they? Are there?
Two. There are two left.
Mm.
You know, out of curiosity, I looked up, like, how many chapters there are in this manga. By the way, Okubo has said that he expects the manga to end at around like volume 30. He says anywhere between volume 30 and 50. So they are real close to volume 30. They're like at volume like 25 or something like that.
Man, it's been on for that long?
Yeah. And here's the other thing I looked up too, because I was really curious about like what a season 2 would be, because they're getting one. And they're just slightly more chapters than there would be. How do I say this? So like, I don't remember the number. There was like 170 chapters or something like that. And so,
how much did season 1 cover?
About a little less than half of that. A little less than half. So there's more than enough for a second season, but that will still put them pretty close to where we are in real time. Is what I'm trying to say.
So we'll get that, and then nothing ever again.
Pretty much.
Possibly, yeah.
So he says he's going to end it in... Well, first of all...
30 to 50, volumes 30 to 50 is a big range.
Right.
Well, he said... I think it was a quote, and he was like, I expect Fire Force to end around volume 30. However, I guess it could go to volume 50, he said.
I mean, that's a big range.
You're leaving open the possibility of going for 4 more years than you thought.
Yeah, that's a lot of years.
That makes it feel like he doesn't know what he's really talking about. He just
suddenly there's this entire group of enemies where they all have names starting with one letter of the alphabet.
Well, I mean, remember that Oda was always like, "Oh, One Piece is going to end in 5 years."
No,
and then like 15 years later, we're still going.
Yeah.
So it's like it's hard to gauge exactly how long. You know,
I just generally assume though, that when people who aren't Oda say that, it means they're just going to be tacking on to the end.
Right. But it's sort of at the same time, it's like you can have the whole thing planned out on a piece of paper and like a timeline and like summarize all the events and stuff. And getting from place to place might not take as long as you thought it would, or it might take longer or whatever.
I think that's kind of the padding they're putting in there, because like, he might think in his head, well, I've got like 3 more arcs I want to do, but then like, for all you know, one of those arcs is Dressrosa, you know?
Yeah. Or it might be, okay, I'm not where I needed to be at the end of this arc. I need another arc to get there. You know?
But regardless, if they went verbatim, they have enough chapters for a full second season, and then there would still be like 5 or 10 or 20, or I'd say like 10 more chapters after that. Currently.
Yeah.
So, like, what volume are they on now? Like, how close to the end, even given this whole very wide range of possible...
I don't know. I want to say it was, like, 23 or something, maybe, out of 30. Like, 23 or 24. I don't know. I don't remember the number exactly.
So, like, if we were to end at volume 30, that would mean we were about... 80% of the way through the entire manga, and that the first two seasons would cover 80% of the entire manga if it ended at volume 30?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say maybe let's put in snack in the middle of the range and say they end at 40.
Yeah, that would make sense. Something like that, you know, or maybe it's like a half core when they do the third season, if they ever did one or something.
Of course,
I don't know.
Like 23 to 30, that's still... a year and a half.
Again, I threw that out there because I just happened to read that it said like he was planning on ending it at 30 volumes. That wasn't as important to me though. What I was trying to make a point of is like I was curious to how much extra stuff had been written. If you took the number of chapters that comprise season 1 and you take the same number of chapters and assume that that's the amount is going to be in season 2, how much is left over? And like I said, there's about 15 to 20 chapters left over after that. Which I think is interesting, because it just sort of makes you wonder what would happen with a season 3 at that point.
I mean, a season 3 would probably not happen for several years.
I mean, just based on what you described, it doesn't sound like they have enough material for a third season. And Lord knows what happened when they last thing went filler for... one of his works.
Yeah.
We have to defeat hell with the power of friendship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it'll be a different studio, different writers, but I think the outcome would be probably similar and bad.
Yeah, I don't need these weird David Production / Shaft people trying to write the end of Fire Force for me. Food Wars! Unless anyone else has something about Fire Force.
Now I'm ready to eat.
Okay.
let's eat.
Food Wars, the second plate, episode 1, that which is placed within the box. Things that are placed in the box include build up and practice in favor of, it's fight time already. It's 5 minutes into this episode and we're fighting Alice. Okay. That's quick.
The pacing in this episode was really not good.
They clearly made the decision that season two, we're going to jump right the fuck in. Fuck that prep, fuck that setup. You don't need it. We can just kind of wait, vaguely allude to it. You're here for it. Soma versus Alice, and it's like, this is too sudden. I need you to slow down.
My sentiment was that the events of the episode, I thought weren't too difficult to follow, but the issue was that it felt that an episode was missing between the end of last season and beginning of this season. That was the issue. Like, if this was episode 2, I wouldn't have really much of a problem with it of this season, but it was episode 1, which meant they felt like they just cut out a whole bunch of stuff. The pacing for this battle I thought was fine, but the whole pre-battle was just missing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a huge difference because unlike when I watched these two, which was at release, this time there's only a week between them, and I'm like, whoa, what the fuck? Somebody just slammed the gas pedal and put a brick on it.
Yeah, I hope it gets better, but I don't know. We'll see. So as far as the battle goes, it was fine. I mean, it was pretty much exactly what I expected. Alice used her high-tech crap to make high-tech food.
But she can't make a heart.
No, she has no heart in it. But then I did like the twist that Soma also used his own bit of high-tech foodery when he used when he made those little gelatin things or whatever. It's like seaweed balls that, like, apparently it's like a candy in Japan that he used as inspiration for making little gelatin seaweed balls that, like, explode in your mouth.
We probably would have had an episode about this where he eats the candy and is like, ooh.
Probably.
She was also, like, super cool with everything, which I didn't really expect. I thought she was going to, like, have a hissy fit or get upset, but...
That's Erina's thing.
Alice was just like, hey, you beat me.
Also, boy, the director lifts.
Oh, yeah.
And why was he naked all of a sudden?
The part Alice where he talks to her and she's like, wait, why is he naked? When did he get naked?
Oh yeah, she even says that, doesn't she?
Yes.
When did he get naked? What? It's like the moment you know you've lost.
And he also has like a giant gong. It's like the gong show.
Oh yeah.
No, he doesn't have a giant gong. He has a giant paintbrush and scroll that he writes the winner on.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
This is extremely unnecessary.
They'll take any excuse to, like, make this, like, way more important than it needs to be. Like, in any real-world situation, they would have just handed out, like, little cards. It's like
Mark DeCoscos raises up from a platform in the center of the stage and is like, Bento! And then goes back down and never shows up again.
Yeah, in this world, everything is over the top.
So yeah, congratulations, Soma. You've beaten Alice. That was a bit anticlimactic.
It feels like she should have been maybe an endgame boss or closer to it rather than the first round. So I'm like, huh, I would not expect him to have fought her so soon.
I agree. I think she would have been closer to the end. I think that the Spice guy is probably the main rival, though.
You see, he has to fight in the second round this mysterious dude that we don't know about. Anyway, next round is, like, dude who's either bored or extremely angry versus a cream puff. You can do it, Megumi. You probably can't. He's gonna kill you.
You can do it. No, you can't.
Nope.
You've got this.
Sorry. Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer, episode 12. The boar bears its fangs. Zenitsu sleeps. Zenitsu's like, I sleep!
So this is his gimmick.
This is his gimmick. Literally only tolerable when unconscious.
And apparently the only reason he can survive is when he's unconscious. He has like, it's like drunken fist, but it's more like walking, sleepwalking fist, basically.
So is he narcoleptic or something? Is that what's going on?
No.
So he just passed out from fear or something?
Yes, I think so.
But then, when he's passed out, he isn't just like asleep. He suddenly is now like on like a robot. Like he just all acting completely on instinct and apparently can destroy people instantly. That's the impression I got, at least.
That's dumb.
Well, I guess it's kind of dumb. It's kind of fine too. I would rather him like it takes agency away from his character because now it's like he can't be good in the waking world. He can only be good when he's asleep.
Quick, we need Zenitsu to do something.
Yeah.
Good night.
Night, night.
Get him some tranquilizers.
So what does he ever do if he's like has to fight more than one demon at once?
I don't know.
Do they all stand in a straight line or something? Like, I don't see how this works.
No, I mean, the way it works is that when he's asleep, he can destroy everything. Like, there could be 50 guys probably. And he'd kill them all. It's just that it only works when he's asleep. Again, I don't know this. That's just my take. My take is that when he is asleep, he is probably ultra powerful.
Hey, boar guy is over here. He's fucking some demons up.
He's also stepping on kids and...
Maybe boar guy also sucks.
I don't know. He didn't seem that bad, although he just seems kind of like he doesn't care
stepping
about anyone.
Stepping on kids. Not that bad.
Well, I don't think he noticed. I don't think he did it deliberately. Let me put it that way.
That's hardly a ringing endorsement, I would
say. No, it isn't. I'm not saying he's a good guy. I'm just saying that, like, he is kind of full of himself. But I don't think he, like, deliberately stepped on that girl. I think he just didn't notice that she was there and didn't care.
That's kind of all I've got. They're still fighting drum guy.
Oh, well, okay. No, there was one other thing. Some kid had one of the drums.
And was just randomly hitting it?
Yeah.
Good news, their brother's alive. Yay! He's not literally lying in a pool of blood somewhere.
Oh, and there was like this other demon that was like wandering around too.
Yeah, they had weird crawly dude and big boomer from Left 4 Dead dude.
Both they got did. One shot in an instant, basically.
They suck. But which hey!
Which makes me wonder how the drummer dude got murked so badly if they're, you know, getting one-shotted.
Well, so, like, actually, drum dude used to be one of the demon moons, the super-duper demons, but he sucked too bad, so he
downgraded
got kicked out. That was the scene with Kibutsuji. That was him getting kicked out of the demon elite squad.
So do we see these guys this season, or...?
I imagine you start to see them this season. I don't think you're gonna... I think you're probably waiting for a season for the next... Well, I guess the movie is the next arc, so... After the season, so... But I think you'll see, like, a few of them by the end of this season.
Why did they do this? Why did they do this movie thing?
Because you're a fan of the property in Japan, which means you're a slave. you'll do whatever the fuck we want you to do.
Either the production company wanted it, or the animators thought it would be better scheduling or more fun or something. I'm not sure. Who knows?
You're right. Usually the movie isn't. We're literally adapting this canon thing into this movie. But again, they expect that you will come. You will come to them on their own, on their terms.
I mean, it sucks for us because it means we're pretty much never going to see this again.
I asked this question on Twitter. I didn't get an answer. I wonder if there was a season two, but it was after the movie, would they do it, or would they be like, we don't show movies, you don't need to see it, and then everyone's like, yes, we do.
Yeah, it's weird.
Or maybe they're just going to keep doing movies forever.
That's kind of what I thought.
Maybe the series didn't do well enough to justify another series.
Usually you have to do crazy well to justify a movie. Like, I think the threshold for a movie is higher than for, like, a second season.
Unless it's a made-for-TV movie.
Unless it's a, hey, what if we just did this movie but didn't do, like, actually put, like, movie work into it?
Right. There's also situations like with Haruhi where they did the movie and then just stopped. You know?
They might do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's also something that could happen. They could just decide, we'll do the movie, and no matter how well it does, we're done, we're moving on to something else.
Demon Slayer is killing it in Japan right now.
I mean, it's all over the place in terms of, even in the West, in terms of, like, the anime zeitgeist.
But are they like, well, great, more sales for the manga, we're done here.
Right. I don't know. It's just weird.
I think it's a matter of, is the anime making enough money? Because if it's not, then all it's done is, you know, make it so you can sell more manga. Like, I think if the anime makes enough money, they'll be like, okay, yes, we will keep going. You know?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, obviously, it's, and I don't subscribe to the notion that, and I'm not saying you're saying this, but in general, that, like, the anime exists to promote the manga. No, I don't believe that. I think that the anime is its own format that is just a way of telling the same story to a different audience.
So, business-wise, it totally is. Generally. That's the cold, hard truth.
I don't believe that.
It's pretty certain.
Well,
it really kind of depends on the situation. Like, for a lot of these things, it is very much, you know, sort of, we want to make an anime. And
if you get a
do it.
Fantastic anime that everyone loves, but it doesn't move any manga copies, that shit's not getting a second season.
Well, no, it could still get a second season.
I think it's the other way around. I think it's that they take a super popular manga, because they're always popular manga, and then they take and make an anime out of it, and if the anime isn't doing well, then they just stop making the anime, and the manga just keeps going.
I mean, there have certainly been times when an anime did well enough, you would think, to continue, but the production company was just, we're good, we got what we needed, we don't care.
Well, anyway, we've talked a lot about this thing. Let's talk about, is there anything else to say about the episode, I guess?
I have nothing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think we kind of covered all the bases. I don't even remember how the episode ended. I know that the wolf guy or the boar guy shows up, but I don't remember how it ended.
He shows up and then he falls through a hole or something.
Oh.
Speaking of falling through a hole, Black Clover. Black Clover, episode 101, The Lives of the Village of In the Sticks. In this episode, I don't remember until another asshole elf shows up to destroy the village. And that's it.
Yeah, it was basically the first... what was I going to say?
I was hoping you wouldn't talk and then I could just move on to JoJo.
You can say something.
Well, fuck you too. Like,
cold-blooded, man.
nothing really of interest happening. Just the elves were being the elves. The Noelle's happier brother is chastising her instead of telling her to fuck off. Asta and Yuno come to save Sister Lucy and the other things. Blah, blah, blah. Humans aren't all bad. Blah, blah. We're elves. We don't care. We're going to commit genocide.
Elves are like, man, you guys really are beaten down by these elites. Anyway, I'm going to kill you now.
So they're in the... See, I skipped this episode. I fell asleep. It wasn't deliberate, but I didn't get to see it. So they're back at the home village.
Yeah, they're flying back to the capital, and they stop at Asta and Yuno jump off at the home village because it's under attack.
Okay. And they're still there at the end of the episode?
Yes, the fight hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
I think the Clover Kingdom is literally like 3 square miles. You can see the capital from this village, and it's supposed to be on the outskirts. It's like a mountainside.
Well, I mean, that giant skull thing is there, isn't it? It's like right outside their village, right?
Yeah.
I think what they were seeing was the enemy base moving through the sky, wasn't it?
That's correct.
Yeah, so that's something I think that's plausible. You can see from, you know, especially if it's like lit up like a fucking moon. Like, I think that's something plausible you can see from long distances.
Oh, I have a continuity error, though, I just realized. In the opening that we see every single week, the original King, Magic King, or whatever he's called.
The Wizard King.
You're going to say the demon died in the middle of the city, but there's no city.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
Well, hey, let's just say it was a lot... It used to be there, but now it's not.
All right.
I don't know. Or they...
They moved it.
There used to be a lot more city, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe the whole Clover Kingdom was that. Now it's forest.
Yeah, it's like it got smaller. Maybe.
Maybe.
Why am I giving excuses for this show?
Who cares? Who wants to talk about JoJo?
I think we all do. It's actually fun.
Yeah. No, that's a fun one. We should talk about that instead.
JoJo, Golden Wind, Episode 10, Hitman Team. In this episode, sir, there appears to be a car in your soup. No, I'm good. I'm going to drink this car.
It's fine.
Insert gif of Morty turning into car.
It wasn't enough that guy died. The car had to fly up into the air and then land on his girlfriend.
Yep. Man, that dude died hard. Man. People don't die. There are no clean deaths in this part. Everyone dies ridiculously hard. It's amazing. Anyway, in this episode, the main villain's riding around in Narancia's back pocket the entire time.
And it was basically an episode of The Incredible Shrinking Narancia.
I think they changed it. I remember it was one line... I think it was in sub where they changed where Formaggio was concerned that he accidentally tickled Narancia's ass and that's how he was got spotted. But I think they changed in the dub to just like touched it or something or rubbed it or something a lot less raunchy sounding.
What are you talking about?
Remember, basically, like Formaggio was like, "Ah, did I tickle his ass too much?
Oh, I don't remember that.
I'm in this pocket. I don't know."
He said that when he was hiding in the back pocket. Oh, yes. Okay.
In the sub, from my recollection, he was concerned if he had tickled Narancia's ass, and that's what alerted him that he was in Narancia's back pocket. In the dub, I believe, and again, I probably want to double check all this, but my recollection from the dub is that they slightly tweaked the line so that the meaning was preserved, but it was a little less raunchy.
Yeah, I think you're right, because I don't remember him saying anything like that. I think he just said, did he feel me moving in his back pocket or something? But I don't remember him talking about tickling anything.
So yeah, Narancia, the plane, also isn't just a thing that shoots bullets and missiles. It also has a CO2 radar. And that's how you find them.
What a weirdly specific thing.
It really is.
You know what this plane needs? A radar that tracks carbon dioxide.
Yeah.
Genius.
perfect.
You know, also, no one else is genius. I don't know. I was looking for somewhere to go, and then I forgot. I'm sorry.
We've got nothing.
I mean, so yeah. I mean, like, what's to say? He kept getting smaller and smaller. They go down into the the guy goes down into the subway or into the sewers.
This fight's interesting because basically Formaggio is the protagonist of it.
Yeah, well, he's the one being hurt.
He's the one who has to figure out all the weird quirks of the enemy stand.
So here's my question. This guy's stand, why doesn't he just grow big?
He does. Formaggio?
He did it at the end.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was like, oh shit, I'm going to get shot. Let me grow big and then it won't matter anymore.
I just wonder why he didn't do that immediately, I guess.
Because he was trying to hide from the plane, from Aerosmith. He was trying to run away and hide. Because time is on his side. As long as more time passes, Nancy keeps shrinking. So he just wants to prolong the fight until he basically auto-wins.
Okay, gotcha.
But if he's big, then he's just a sitting target for Aerosmith. Whereas if he's small and high, Aerosmith wastes time looking for him.
I get that now when you say that. Aerosmith, but I guess the whole time I was thinking to myself, once Narazia is 50% size, I wouldn't have thought Aerosmith would really hurt him.
It did. I mean, he actually did get hurt by this latest round a little bit.
I mean, yeah. Aerosmith was down. Narazia was down to 15% size at that point, and Aerosmith was still dangerous.
That's what I wasn't getting.
Even tiny bullets are still bullets. But also, this episode kind of actually was mostly this entirely and mostly anime original stuff with the Hitman crew, including dude who is only neck.
So that wasn't material from the manga. The flashback.
No, so my understanding is that the part where they assassinate the diplomat or whatever, that's anime original. But once they get back to the office to meet up with Rizzo and the rest of the crew, that's in the manga, right?
That's correct. All this stuff is about how their other dude, these two dudes got, this one dude got Hannibal'd.
Okay.
Man, that's fucking disturbing.
So I guess we saw the boss, technically, even if he was only in shadow.
That was not the boss.
Oh. Okay.
The boss would not go do that himself.
So somebody who works for the boss chopped that guy up into a bunch of pieces.
We will see that person later. They made that silhouette way more specific.
Well, that was what I was thinking. It was confusing because in the episode, when they show that character with the somewhat messy hair, the narration or the person talking literally says the boss had him killed or the boss got him killed or the boss killed him or something to that effect. And it made me think that, we're looking at the boss.
Nope.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you said that because I would have assumed until you said otherwise that was the boss. So.
Anyway, again, everyone in this part dies extremely hard.
One of the guys that they introduced in this episode sounded like it was Steve Bloom, but then I watched the credits and it wasn't. He wasn't in the credits.
A lot of people sound a little bit like Steve Bloom.
Yeah, this person sounded a lot like him.
Which character are you referring to?
Dude, I couldn't even begin to tell you which one. It was the one that talked the most when they got back to their hideout or whatever.
What did he look like?
I can't tell you.
Some of these dudes kind of look a little bit the same.
Similar to me, except for the guy with the white hair and glasses, and then there's the guy with who does not have a head. The guy who has basically a cylinder for a head. It wasn't either one of those.
The dude's a thumb from Spy Kids.
Yes, exactly. He looks like, you ever see remember those old movie, those old parodies where they'd have Thumb Titanic? And he'd have a guy would film his thumb and then put a face on it?
Yes.
That's what this guy looked like, yeah.
So it was not the dude with the black sclera in his eyes, right?
Maybe. I don't remember. I just remember. I can't remember what the other guys looked like. They all kind of looked similar to me. I just remember the. I remember the thumb head looking guy, and I remember the. I remember the guy with the white hair and the glasses who sounded like he was always nervous.
I'm a little disappointed that that was clearly not Clifford Chapin, because in Japanese, this dude was voiced by Bakugo's voice actor, doing the exact same voice as Bakugo, and really? It's amazing. Just imagine all of Bakugo's angry ranting from this guy, and it's perfect.
Oh, God.
Oh, the dude goes in some epic rants later in the arc.
Now, I'm assuming all these guys we just saw, like, they said there were 9 of them.
Assuming there's 7 now.
Okay, 7.
2 of them got murdered in this episode.
That's right.
Gileto, Sober.
Yes, and we're about to probably end one of them in coming up. But I'm assuming these are our villains.
Oh, yeah.
These are some of our villains.
Most of this part is versus the Hitman Squad.
Yeah.
Up to, I can't say more without spoiling it, but yeah.
All right.
Ironically, you do kind of root for them after this just a little bit. You're like, yeah, I hope they do get back at the boss, because what the fuck? But also, fuck these guys. They're also really bad.
Basically, they're assholes, but they're even bigger assholes in the arc.
Well, the good news is that it explains at least why these guys are coming after the girl.
That's right.
That we now know, because up until now we don't know why these guys were doing it. Now we know. They think that they can get back at the boss. Basically, they want to seize the boss's power.
They want to take over his drugs.
Yeah.
And but Jorno says, nuh-uh-uh, drugs are bad.
Yeah, and then so they think, oh, well, if we get his daughter, then we'll have, like, you know, a hostage or something.
JoJo cool.
Yeah.
Thing less cool, Naruto. Naruto Shippuden, episode 280, Aesthetics of an Artist. Oh, God, fucking shoot me now.
This one's going to be amazing.
In this episode, Data escapes. At the end of the episode, status quo restored.
Yeah. Well, that's what you got to do for filler, right?
Yeah.
But, like, holy
that's
shit.
It works.
So, like, is Sasori, not Sasori, Deidara, is he, like, just in love with Sasuke or some shit? Like, it's kind of,
He's
weirdly
that?
Obsessive about it.
He is totally, but doesn't want to admit it. He just wants Sasuke to appreciate his art by being horrified in death.
So,
appreciate my art, senpai.
So, this girl, she kept calling him brother. Is that literally his sister?
No, I think it's just, like,
I think they're from the same village.
Yeah.
They are, yeah.
Like they probably knew each other when they were kids.
She was real blasé about that guy. I thought it was kind of funny. I mean, not funny in like a haha funny, but in like in a this is a bad show funny, where she kept like, she's like, hey man, you're dead now. Why don't you just tell us what we need to know?
I mean, nobody has ever given Deidara even the slightest bit of respect, and that's cool.
Yeah. It just makes me think how stupid this reincarnation jutsu is. Like, if it had worked, if she would have literally gotten this guy to tell them, like, where Sasuke was, like, I know he didn't know, but let's just say hypothetically that he did know and he told her that. Like, how stupid is this jutsu? That, like, the people you can reanimate, all you can basically do is tell them to go fight someone, but other than that, they can just do whatever the hell they want. They can tell you, they can tell the enemy anything, they can...
Well, no, the thing is that, God, what's his name? The glasses snake guy. Kabuto, right?
Yeah.
He can decide how much free will he's willing to offer to these reincarnations. For some reincarnations, he can take over their minds completely. For others, he lets them have more agency. He said specifically during this episode, Kabuto, that he was going to let Deidara do whatever he wanted. Yeah, because, you know, the fillers give a shit. You know. But if he wanted to, he could control Deidara completely if he wanted to. He just chose not to.
Okay. So it's just... It's just bad planning on his part.
Because you can see in earlier episodes, like, there's some instances where he lets the reincarnations do their own thing, and some instances where he forcibly controls them. Because basically, it's like having a robot versus having, like, a more free-thinking agent on your side. Like, the free thinker can, like, is better able to adapt to the situation, but they might also, like, betray you or do something stupid. Whereas a robot would be like, I will execute your plan, but if the opponent has anything surprising, I will probably fall for their trick kind of thing. You understand?
Yeah.
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 They don't, you know, I'll tell you this much. The show didn't make that very clear to me, so.
I mean, the actual reason is, do we need this person to have a character arc here?
I mean, sure, but like they actually do explain it like 20 episodes or 30 episodes ago, but like, you know, life happened in the holidays and the episodes were kind of shitty anyway, so I don't really blame you.
Okay. All right. I'm kind of glad you told me that, because again, I didn't understand it. I just assumed it was just shitty power. So you're just saying that he can control how much freedom these revived people have. Like, I'm assuming they can't just turn on him, but maybe they could.
Isn't my recollection that Itachi, like, specifically sets up a counter jutsu that if you're ever able to if you're ever to be reanimated, would instantly counter the jutsu, and then that's what happens? That's my vague recollection of future Naruto, that, like, Itachi gets resurrected, but he has some plan that allows him to entirely enact his own free will or something. That happens, right? Am I just making shit up?
Fair, so that might actually be this arc.
Oh yeah, no, Itachi does a thing where he's like, fuck you.
It was, I remember he now. The crow he put in Naruto, it breaks the spell.
Because it Sharingans him.
Fuck, man.
Like, he uses the crow to Sharingan himself.
That all sounds vaguely familiar from what I've, like, kind of learned from cultural osmosis, that, like, somehow Itachi pre-planned this so that if you're ever to be reanimated, he would have develop a countermeasure so that he would keep all his free will.
Okay, so apparently it was in case Naruto ever fought Sasuke for whatever reason, and Sasuke tried to Sharingan him, the crow would come out and Sharingan Sasuke. So,
all right, well, don't. That's okay. I don't care about spoilers for Shippuden, maybe we shouldn't keep just giving out spoilers.
Okay. No one cares about spoilers for Shippuden. None of our listeners do. Let's be real.
It's literally decades old.
This is true.
This all happened a decade ago.
So, you're right. I mean, like, obviously this was filler because the fucking white guys show up. And
Literally, first shot and last shot, the same.
Yeah, and the only thing of interest to me in this episode, and I say this very loosely, is the one of the samurai guys has a sword with a battery attached to it.
Ooh, behold Marvel's modern science, the battery. Ooh. But yeah, technology's world makes no sense because they have electric swords and video cameras, but they don't have telephones. I don't whatever.
It's dumb. Also, does it make sense that electricity prevents Deidara from using his power? They just have a line in the episode where they're just like, oh, well, if you use lightning style on him, then that counters his style.
Because he's doing earth style, I guess.
Because the different styles are like, they're like Pokemon types where one counters the other or something.
Yeah.
But electricity is just randomly the one that defeats Earth.
Well, this was established back when Deidara and Sasuke fought, like, 100 episodes ago.
I think it was before that. It was like...
Oh, no. I'm not questioning that this wasn't established. I'm just saying why those two. Just because... there's no logical reason, right? I can understand water beating fire, but what does electricity have to do with whatever he has?
If it wasn't that, it would have been like... Earth was weak to ice instead of electricity or something. It would have been random what he chose. So.
Yeah. But what was it? It was fire's weak to water. Water's weak to electricity. Electricity's weak to ground. Ground is weak to... No, ground is weak...
No, okay. You're getting confused. You're thinking of Pokemon, not Naruto. Yeah.
No, ground is weak to electricity. Electricity is weak to water? To wind.
Wind.
Wind is weak to fire. Fire is weak to water. And water is weak to ground?
That makes no sense.
That should be the other way around for most of that.
The fuck if I know.
Like, that's my point.
Like, ground should be weak to water.
Again,
and,
Pokemon rules. The Pokemon stuff doesn't make sense.
No, the Pokemon stuff makes more sense than this.
Well, the thing for Pokemon is they're elementals, like character attributes, and then they're like non-elemental attributes. Right. For elemental stuff, I think it all makes sense. But then when you're trying to figure out what is weak to fairy and what is weak to like psychic, and like it stops making sense. But that's because it's not really elemental, so.
Well, I mean, the psychic thing makes sense.
Well, I guess you could go argue either way, I feel.
Well, like, mind over matter and, like, creepy bugs stop you from concentrating.
Oh, no, you're just making that up.
You're just directly quoting from a webcomic now.
I am?
Yes.
I'll just make you unable to concentrate. It's just you making shit up now.
It's that one comic... That ends with, have you ever tried to punch a bird?
What?
That's why fighting's not effective against flying.
I've never heard of this before. I'm just pulling crap out of my ass right now just to have something for us to talk about.
Well, I'm saying like the elemental aspects of the Pokemon type chart makes sense. The non-elemental aspects are kind of random as all fuck. But the elemental aspects make sense in Pokemon, whereas they don't really make sense in Naruto.
It's literally an awkward zombie comic.
I don't even know what that is.
Awkward zombies that she does like Smash comics and other Nintendo-based comics.
You've definitely seen one of these before. I posted it in the chat.
Right, she did the one with what's his name, Lysandre, and how like. What, doesn't anyone notice that this guy is like, talking about gender?
No, that's a different. That's not her because that's a totally
different style. Oh, this I know. This I know. Okay, yeah.
Anyway, we talked about Pokemon instead of Naruto.
Because there's nothing to talk about.
I feel like our time was better spent this way.
So I think the next episode has an interesting title, something about like the Mom Brigade or something.
Okay.
Did you see that?
The Mom Brigade?
Something about like ninja moms or something.
Oh, could that sound be any more fillerish?
No, it could not. Let's get out of here.
How many episodes of Dr. Stone do we have left?
We have like 5.
Alright.
So 5 Dr. Stone, 2 Fire Force. So we got a lot of things ending reasonably soon.
That's correct. Something's gotta come.
Yeah, I'm really curious to find out what this next show is going to be, because I have high hopes for certain ones that I've wanted on the block for a while that never came, that could come, but then I have this sneaking suspicion it's going to be something I don't want.
Which shows? I'm curious.
I don't want to jinx it.
Come the hell. Just tell us. It's not going to jinx it.
I mean, it's stuff that, like, Land of the Lustrious, I'd love for that to show up on the block. I mean, Mob Psycho Part 2, of course.
That'd be nice.
Like, those are the obvious things I would love to see on the block, shows that I think are, like, would make an excellent group watch. But, it's going to be some awful show I've never heard of, probably.
Thinking of shows that could come to Toonami right now. Well, since they got Demon Slayer and Dr. Stone and Fire Force, they kind of ran out of the big current shonen that they can get.
No, so there's awful demon show, or not demon, but what's that one? Goblin Hunter or something?
I feel like if we were going to get that, we'd have gotten it way sooner.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying.
Goblin Slayer or something?
We got like Food Wars, and that came like years after it came out, right? Or a year or
more. You're right, but I don't know. Shit like Goblin Slayer Hero was big.
Let me put it another way. There is no show that is like coming out right now that would come on the block. So it has to be something older.
Right.
Ushio and Tora.
I'm still surprised we haven't gotten Blood Blockade Battlefront, because that is a good show and that should be on Toonami already. I'm surprised it's not.
was it maybe just too B level to get there?
I mean, it's no more B level than, like, I don't know, it's like Food Wars.
I feel so like Food Wars at least had its moment more than Blood Blockade Battlefront did. I can't even say the name. It's like, say this three times fast.
It's still a better show than a lot. I don't know. It feels like one of those perfect Toonami shows. I'm also surprised we never got Tiger and Bunny.
That seems like it would have been obvious.
I don't know if it's too late now, but that seems like a no-brainer. Like
It feels too late, but then again, so did Food Wars.
Yeah. I mean, stuff like Tiger and Bunny, Nushu and Tora, I feel like that's the kind of stuff we definitely should have got.
What is it, C-Color?
Red versus Blue.
What? No. That's ridiculous.
Oh, well,
I'm sorry. That's not what I meant to say. I said that show name.
You were trying to think of Ruby.
Ruby.
Would Rooster Teeth let that happen? I don't think they would do it.
They have a relationship now with the Rooster Teeth people.
What's their name? Genlock was a show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happened.
That's getting a season 2 on HBO Max.
How the hell did that happen?
Because we're making a streaming service. We need shit.
I mean, I'm happy everyone has work and stuff, but that show is not good. Let's be real.
I don't know.
Yeah, man,
again,
like,
I think it feels like
we've got these two blocks coming up pretty soon, and then like one of them could be obvious Mob Psycho, and then after that it's like
who knows? Yeah, who knows?
I feel like it's like impossible to predict that one of these next two.
Oh yeah, that's right. Boruto could come back at any moment, theoretically.
Here's the thing. We need to find, and I don't want to do it right now because I think we should end the podcast, but at some point after the podcast, we should look up what was on DeMarco's most requested list.
I don't know if I could find that immediately.
Yeah, I don't either. That's why I'm saying we don't do it now, but somebody somewhere should look that up and tell us what was on that list.
Let me see if I quick Google. Here's a post from July 29th of last year. Current top requested shows, according to DeMarco, Dr. Stone, Mob Psycho Season 2, One Punch Man Season 2, JoJo Part 5.
Oh, snap. Oh. That's all.
Well, then that's a dead end.
Well, Mob Psycho is there.
What about the list before that?
Fairy Tale? Is Fairy Tale still an option?
God, please.
I don't think it was even the last time they did a list.
Yeah.
I think Fairy Tale kind of fell off.
Yeah, I'd like to think that the fandom has moved on at this point.
I think this might be the most recent one.
Yeah.
Because this has Dr. Stone on it, which means
right.
And since then we've gotten One Punch Man and JoJo Part 5, which means like we're due for another answer of this. We're due for this question again.
At least this proves they're listening. Though obvious choices were just good business sense.
Yeah. They definitely haven't. He was just recently taking questions on his Twitter.
Yeah. So we might get a new one soon.
Yeah. Also, apparently, he said we'll be getting more Blade Runner info this year.
Nice.
That's cool. Just quickly searching through the Reddit, maybe something showed up. I don't think so, because if he did do another top three, it would be at the top. So yeah, we don't know. I don't know. We really don't know. I honestly do feel like, come on, one of these next two has to be Mob Psycho.
Yeah, I mean, we got to get season two at some point.
Like, they're pretty good at getting those top three.
Yeah, I think that's likely. I just don't know what the other thing will be.
Boruto is back.
I mean, it makes sense.
It will be somewhat disappointing, but it would make sense.
You know what's frustrating is that Netflix has a bunch of good shows, I think, that would be prime Toonami material, but Netflix being Netflix, it's all like caged
never
and
gonna
like
happen.
Dumped yeah. and all shit.
Thinking back of all the like Netflix shows, I'm like, I don't actually know if any of them would be Toonami material. Like, I mean, Carol and Tuesday is Watanabe, but it's stretching it a bit.
I just want to see the stars.
I think that would do well on Toonami. Castlevania would obviously do well if it could get on Toonami.
But of course, the thing is, that's a Netflix, like, Netflix made that, so.
No, yeah. I know, but I'm just saying, but. Or Devilman, but, you know.
Also, Netflix made that.
Again, I understand, but I'm
also,
just saying.
You could never air that on TV. Ever.
Hellsing Ultimate. If you're gonna air Hellsing Ultimate, you can probably air Devilman.
You'd have to edit, but.
What was that, C-Caller?
I said, what if we got Iruma-kun?
What is that?
That's too blatantly for kids.
Yeah, too weird.
I don't know what that is, but
it's just currently airing show.
It's like a show that, like, for whatever
kid
reason,
goes to demon school.
It looks and it behaves like a show from like the early 90s.
Oh god,
it's really weird. It's like a comedy. It's not bad. But it's not good either. Right. It's kind of in the middling.
So yeah, before we go, what's everyone's favorite episode from this week? C-Caller, we'll start with you.
I would say. Probably, I'd say JoJo.
B-dubs.
JoJo.
This is Crocodile.
I think I'm leaning towards JoJo, though I'll admit the Fire Force was so, might have like it not might have, it actually did out-jo JoJo in its, that's bullshit, but I believe it kind of thing. So, I think JoJo is like the better overall episode. But Fire Force is just so, I don't even know the words, but I believe it.
I'm going to go for JoJo as well.
Hooray, JoJo.
That's kind of a clean sweep there.
I mean, everybody said JoJo, so.
Yeah. Well then, thank you, Crocodile, for being here tonight.
My pleasure.
Thank you, C-Caller.
No problem.
Thank you, B-Dubs.
Okay.
We'll see you guys next week for episode 183. No, we probably won't know what the new show is next week.
Pretty sure we'll know.
Unless the distributor leaks it again like they did the last one.
Because like Sword Art wasn't announced till like the week of the last episode of One Punch Man airing.
Yeah.
So I think we have to wait another week. Come on, Bob. That'll do it for episode 182. Good night, everyone. Later.